Good morning, folks. Welcome to the Bruce Dickey Show here on AM 1390 and WFIW-FM Fairfield, Illinois. Appreciate you joining in today. My name is Bruce Dickey. I do have a guest in the studio today, kind of an interesting fella. I don't mean to sell you short, Colin.
Mediocre.
Did
best,
you take that? Did you take that as selling you short?
Yeah, that was a good compliment.
An interesting young man. We're going to talk a little bit about. He's going to school up in Chicago, and he's also wildly interested in baseball, among other things. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Colin Dunn to the Bruce Dickey Show today.
Thank you very much for having me on the show, Bruce. It's always
glad
good
to have
come
you
and
back.
Talk.
Glad to have you back. Yeah. You were here a couple of weeks ago.
That's right.
Did you? Well, not a couple. Probably a couple of months ago.
Yeah, it was about a month ago, I think, for the Legion baseball tournament.
For the tournament, how'd the tournament go?
You know, it went really well. I heard
Colin tell the folks what your responsibility was there.
Well, I'm the one of the coaches of the Fairfield Legion baseball team, and along with Landon Tennant, Luke Carl. We coached this year. My dad, Galen Dunn, he was the manager for us, kind of taking care of everything on a higher level. And then Ron,
he was the liaison to the American League.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. And then Ron Tennant also was the assistant manager. And both those guys, you know, they've coached Landon and basically all the coaches forever. And so we kind of took over. And this year we decided to host the tournament. It was between us and Metropolis.
How'd they choose?
Basically just a vote.
Really?
They asked at the beginning of the year if who wanted to host it, and Metropolis was the only team that spoke up, and I do not want to drive to Metropolis for an entire week. So Fairfield, you know, we said, yeah, we'll host if you want us to, and so we won the vote 4-3, luckily. We didn't have to drive 2 hours.
I suspect, I would think it was probably, you had Albion, Carmi and Fairfield vote for Fairfield. You had Metropolis, I'm assuming Carrier Mills, and Harrisburg voted for Metropolis too,
yeah.
I guess. And so McLeansboro was the swing vote?
Well, it was kind of interesting because we voted with more teams at the beginning of the year than actually played. We had
really?
Flora and Louisville at the beginning of the year, and then eventually they dropped. So Flora and Louisville voted for us as well. So it was
6-3.
Yeah, 5-4 because Carmi actually voted for Metropolis because they told them they would. So it was 5-4 in the voting. So we barely, or 4-3. I mean 4-3. So we barely won it out.
Well, congratulations.
But, yeah. So it was a great tournament.
Harrisburg won, right?
Yes, they did. They hit the ball so well.
Now tell me about the experience of hosting a tournament. You had some umpire issues. It seems like, didn't you?
Oh yeah, it was. It was really fun.
Tell me about your you don't often see fans thrown out.
You know, really you don't. And sometimes they can look for an altercation just as easily as they can, you know, obtain one. But it's kind of like Angel Hernandez in the major leagues or Joe West. You know, they're just looking for something.
You got like a rabbit ears.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And they got a hair trigger. And so yeah, we had an umpire that didn't really appreciate the fans or the coaches or the players too much. So that makes it a little bit frustrating because you don't really know where the line is.
Yeah.
Because you want to encourage your players and you want to get a fair shake, but you really don't want to step over the line. I think he went on.
Which game was it? I'm trying to remember.
Well, it was a whole night of games. It was the Harrisburg Carrier Mills game.
Oh, he had,
I think,
both games, didn't he?
And
behind
then,
the plate, one of them, and out in the field the next.
In the field, the first game, he threw out one of the Carrier Mills coaches because he said, he just kept saying, he was safe. And he said it three times, I think, and the umpire tossed him. And everyone was like, whoa, are you kidding me? But, in the second game then, that was Albion and I think Albion and Carmi,
I was thinking Carmi.
It got pretty heated. You know, he was behind the plate that game, so
folks didn't like his strike zone.
They really didn't. I kind of agree with him. I was sitting straight up from him, you know, in the scorer's tower, and it was a little tight sometimes.
Yeah,
but it made it interesting. But after that night, you know, we had Bryce Cavacci out there, and you know, he's real cool and keeps everything under control really well, and great umpire. So he was kind of the crew chief from then on.
Is that the most difficult thing of setting up a tournament?
It really is, and really for the whole season too. We have to we get our umpires for the whole season, so you know, stuff changes. We get rainouts, and that just throws everything off because we were actually delayed a day, if you remember. At the start of the tournament, we had to push everything back a day. So, you know, it is tough to get umpires, especially in the area, because you don't want to use one umpire for every single game, and they don't want to be used every single game. So that was one of the tougher parts. And then, you know, just the fact of scheduling, like the brackets and stuff, that's done for us.
How far did Harrisburg end up going?
You know, I think they ended up playing four games at divisional. They did really well, actually. Some of the best representation we've had out of the 24th.
I gotta say, they were a really solid team.
Oh man, they could just hit the ball like crazy. And actually, the first game we played Harrisburg, and we had them on the ropes. I mean, they going in the bottom of the last inning, we were up. Oh man, I can't remember.
This from a team that was five and 14, or what were you?
we ended up 4-12 on the year. 4-12. All right. That was 4-12, I guess, before tournament. I think.
Yeah, but, I think that's right.
But yeah, we had them, but you know, just one bad inning, you know, and extending the inning, giving them outs and stuff, that'll come back to bite you about every time, and especially with a team like Harrisburg, when they get two hits in a row. Everybody gets up there and they swing at the first pitch and they're just killing the ball.
Well, and you know, that's the fun part about that. When you see that happening.
Oh man.
It's like a team of hit, when you got a team that can hit like that. It's like they smell blood in the water.
Oh, absolutely.
They?
It's, you know, the sharks
pitcher,
are circling.
There's no way the pitcher can get through that.
No, and really we tried to, you know, Landon went out there a few times or at least once and
talked
to the pitcher
down.
And the catcher would come out and bring the infield in and slow everything down, but you know, when they smell blood in the water, they're just attacking. And and with a team like that, you know, they didn't stop hitting the rest of the tournament, and it even continued into division. So they can kind of thank us.
Yeah,
for that.
Everybody around is thanking you for heating up Harrisburg. They weren't one of the top seeds, were they? Weren't they third or something?
They were the four seed. Four seed, actually. The 4 and 5 played, and the 3 and 6. So yeah, they ended up the fourth seed. I think there was a 2-way tie for first and a 2-way tie for what would be third, I guess. So that was the top four spots, and then us and Albion.
Are you going to coach Legion again if you get the opportunity?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
You enjoy it?
I absolutely love it. That's the reason that we're all doing is because we love the game so much. We love being around the kids. That you know, in our old age, that's keeping us young.
Oh, good Lord. Ladies and gentlemen, Colin Dunn. He's got a low pitched voice. You can tell the amount of beer and cigarettes he's been enjoying
absolutely.
For like the last 30 years. You're a grizzled veteran now.
That's right.
See, you've got 1 year in. You're a grizzled veteran, aren't you?
Yeah, something like that. I'm trying to, you know, Tyce Clevenger's got that board up there, 21 winning seasons. I'm trying to get there, but man, it's going to take a while.
I was going to say, you'd hate for it to take 60 years of coaching to get 21 winning seasons.
That's right. They just leave off the 60 years part and just put my plaque up there.
That's pretty good. Talking with, before I go to break, tell me about the have you guys had your, you guys always have, the Legion does a lot for
oh
this
my
team,
gosh,
don't they?
So much. That's the only way we can have a team. Yeah. They provide so much.
Tell us what the Legion will, how much their sponsorship means to these kids.
You know, they provide literally everything except for cleats and, like, you know, your glove and bat. They'll give you, you know, we get socks and pants and belts and uniforms and hats, and we get, you know, as many new ones as we need. You know, people's sizes change. That's fine. We'll get new jerseys of a certain size. And they do it unquestioningly. Ellen McDuffie is amazing, an amazing supporter, along with the entire Legion. He represents the Legion baseball program. And they do such a great job.
Have they fed you yet?
No, they haven't. That's coming up Sunday, actually.
I was wondering. You know, that's what I always hear about that for some reason. I don't go, but I always hear stories of folks enjoying the
Yeah, it's a great time.
Legion meal at the end of the year.
It's a great time for the players to come see, you know, who directly supports them and funds them, and for the Legion to see who they're funding.
Yeah.
And it's great to kind of have those two parties colliding. And we give kind of a season recap and give some awards out, so stay tuned for those.
Wait a minute. I've got you on here, and you've got awards to give out on Sunday, and you're not going to tell me who they are then, are you?
Well, I can narrow it down to about 17 or 18 nominees, and that's about as much. I'm not ruling out a dark horse run by any of the coaches, though, so I can't promise anything.
Are you getting Coach of the Year?
You know, I think the baseball writers are still out on that.
Is that right?
Okay. I'm waiting on Wheeze to to return his ballot, and then that'll break the tie.
Well, I tell you why. Yeah, wait on Weeze. You'll be waiting a while to return that ballot.
Yeah, that's right. He always does show up at the Legion Bank.
He will have opinions on who deserves the awards.
Though. Yeah, he will. I'm kind of afraid to hear his opinions this time, but that's okay. Now we'll welcome any opinions.
Maybe he'll go Coach of the Year with Galen. Galen Dunn, since he never got to the field.
That's right. That's the best he could do.
I'm talking with Colin Dunn. We're going to talk a little bit more baseball later on. Probably also going to talk. I want to know quite a bit more about Chicago and going to school and college in Chicago. That just seems like a culture shock to me. And we'll be back here on the Bruce Dickey Show after these. Folks, welcome back to the Bruce Dickey Show here on AM 1390 and WFIW FM Fairfield, Illinois. Appreciate you tuning in as this is a Friday show, the weekend coming up soon. I'm joined today by a kid who's going to be, when are you going to college?
When? Yeah. Sunday afternoon.
This week?
This week, yep.
So you're going to the buffet thing or whatever.
Yeah. Oh, the banquet. Yeah, the banquet. Legion banquet, and then
leaving.
Shortly after that, we're going to pack up and head north.
Yeah. No kidding.
Yep.
All right. Talking with Colin Dunn. He's the American Legion baseball coach, but he's also a young man going to college in Chicago. Where are you going to school up there?
It's called the Illinois Institute of Technology. Illinois Tech is what we're trying to call it now, I guess.
I was going
to
say, you know, you hear other states have their Institute of Technology, if only because you hear them at the football games, like Texas Tech,
right?
Georgia Tech, Caltech, you hear because they're so
amazing.
because they're outstanding, and MIT basically is the same thing.
Right.
Massachusetts Institute of Technology. Mm-hmm. At what, does every state have a tech like that?
Most do, I think.
At what level is Illinois in the hierarchy of tech schools?
Like you know, that? It's actually among the top. It's in the top 10, at least. And really, we've even, in some majors, we've compared to Caltech or MIT or, you know, Georgia Tech. Georgia Tech we're pretty close to, actually. We seem to be pretty close in rankings.
Reason I'm asking is because I've never really met anybody who went to school there.
Yeah, actually, I'm the fourth from Fairfield to go to Illinois Tech.
No kidding, who else?
Yeah. Started off with Brandon Lee,
and
he went up there to start in civil engineering, ended up in business, I believe, and then Hayden McDuffie and Josh Hensley both went up there at the same time.
All right.
Hayden started in civil engineering, and Josh started and finished in information technology and management, ITM, and then Hayden switched to psychology and graduated with a psych degree, and he's up around the south suburbs now. So I'm the fourth.
They have psychology at a tech school.
Oh yeah, it's actually a very popular program, and a really in the last few years it's been up and coming as far as you know, research rankings and post grad research. It's a really actually a surprisingly big major and surprisingly good. You know,
really?
for a tech school, it's really. You know, kind of gets overshadowed because of, you know, engineering,
because,
math, you know, all that stuff.
But folks don't think about
exactly.
Humanity like psychology.
Yeah, but the tech school environment combined with, you know, the psychology of it, you know, it really makes for a good combo and makes for some good research, too.
Where in Chicago is Illinois Tech.
It is and right across.
They're trying to shut it. It's what's it called now? Not IIT. You're trying to call it what?
We try to call it Illinois Tech now because when you say IIT, people think, you know, ITT Tech.
Yeah.
So we don't want to get those confused. And it just makes us, I guess, fit in more,
with
the tech
Cal
schools.
Tech,
yeah,
and
right.
Georgia Tech and Texas Tech. And,
yeah. So it's right across the interstate, from U.S. Cellular Field, actually.
That's kind of what I was thinking. Yeah. You're down on the south side, like 30th Street or 33rd. How big is the campus?
You know, it's, it goes from 31st Street to 35th Street, and then it's about, two blocks wide. So really about eight square blocks, really not too big at all.
They don't have the, I'm trying to remember the Cabrini homes are gone.
Correct. That's right.
Is that where that's pretty close to where you would have been, right?
Yeah, actually some of them are cleared to expand our campus a little bit. And then we have, just a little ways, I think, north of us that was cleared out for more apartments, and really that area has been developed a whole lot, especially like in the last 20 or 30 years. It's improved greatly.
Really?
Oh yeah.
Because I've been to Comiskey Field several times.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
I've been to Comiskey Park. First time was old Comiskey about 1990, and maybe before that. And the neighborhood wasn't that good.
Yeah, and
is the neighborhood getting better?
It is, really. You know, of course, my parents were pretty
worried
when I went up there.
Tell me about the culture shock to Galen and Margaret whenever they realized that you wanted to go to school in South Chicago.
You know, initially they were pretty concerned, and to a point I was too. But we had visited there before I decided, and they realized that it wasn't really really all that unsafe, and especially having Hayden and Josh up there and Brandon Lee still up there, they know that. If Hayden survived it and Hayden's parents are now okay with it, then okay, we're going to be fine with it. And they trust me enough to be about my wits. And
do you live on campus then?
Yeah, I do. Oh, okay. I'm in a fraternity. Okay. So the fraternity housing is on campus. So
okay. How big is the school?
About 3,000 undergrad.
Any sports teams?
Yeah, actually we just went D3. We're kind of provisionary right now. We just went from NAIA to D3. We have 13.
The D3. Illinois Tech Super Nerds.
Close. If you'd hear our fight song, you'd think so. It's got a bunch of math stuff in it.
No kidding.
But yeah,
well, that's cool.
Yeah, it's pretty neat.
What's a fight song?
But it's let's
do you know
see.
It?
Yeah, it's got a.
What's the team name?
The Scarlet Hawks.
Scarlet Hawks.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's got, you know, cosine, secant, tangent, sine, and 3.14159,
yeah,
all that stuff.
I got it. Yeah.
Diffie Q.
Yeah,
right.
Diffie Q. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. So it's pretty fun, though. I mean, we kind of embrace, you know,
the nerdiness.
But
yeah.
Yeah, really, it's, you're going to find a lot of regular people there. You know, just people like to have fun, but
you don't embrace it to the level like the Northwestern people do.
That's
who make fun of all the other schools.
That's right.
You're going to be working for us.
Actually, we used to.
did you? Yeah, I kind of figured you probably did.
One of my friend's dad said that in the 80s, they'd say, you know, at basketball games, they'd chant, "You're going to work for us one day."
Yeah.
But we've kind of moved past that, and we're
really,
since our sports teams aren't the best.
Have you now?
We're
I got to tell you, I don't see that.
You know. They, our sports teams are actually improving a lot. Our volleyball team's really good, women's volleyball, and then our soccer teams actually do really well too. Our baseball team went I think to the national championship last year.
Oh, nice.
in our conference, and I think ended up somewhere like 25-6, and they were just really great. So, you know, kind of a surprise. Our basketball teams, on the other hand, they're still kind of just starting up.
So you're telling me nerds can play baseball better than they can play basketball?
Yes, I am. I don't know. I don't know if it's the physics of it or what, but they have a knack for it.
They're able to judge the coefficient of flight.
Yeah, that's right.
I see as the ball's flying in the air.
That's
makes
right.
more sense. It helps the outfielders as opposed to it's easier to judge than how to get it into the hoop.
You have time to think between plays and you can figure it out. Yeah.
Well, tell me about the culture shock for you going up and living in Chicago. Are you able to get out and around?
Oh, yeah.
And do you go out and are you enjoying the city?
Yes, absolutely. That's one of the biggest things that people around campus encourage you to do is get out and enjoy the city and explore it. When I very first went up there, you know, we went for orientation. We used the CTA, the train, mm-hmm. that goes kind of overhead sometimes. But, you know, at first you're like, oh my gosh, there's no way I'm going to be able to figure this out. But 2 weeks in, you know every, you know, the name the of every stop.
Blue line goes to Wrigley. It's basically the first one you learn.
And you know,
Red line goes to Fullerton, where to the bars up there.
Yeah.
Not that you would know that, Kyle. Right. I'm not saying that.
I just hear tell.
Yeah, there you go.
And then, you know, we actually have a stop right on campus. The Green Line stops right on our campus. So that really encourages a bunch of people to go out and explore. And like I said, within the first 2 weeks, you have it down packed, and then you're set.
Do you ever take it up there to Wrigley Field?
Yeah, absolutely.
How many games have you been to?
I've been to... let's see, three games now.
Do you only go to the Cardinals, or are you going to other games?
No, too? I went to, actually in April, one of my friends had tickets real cheap, and I was like, yeah, I'll go. And it was freezing. I mean, it was like 40 degrees, and we sat in the left field.
You are pretty close to the lake.
Oh, it was.
And upper left field gets.
The wind was brutal. I mean, yeah. It was whipping right through there.
It's coming to, it's hitting you on the right side as you're sitting up there.
Yeah, it hurt pretty bad, but. We stayed for six innings, and then we went to a couple games last year. We went to a Cards-Cubs game through our campus. So they got some really good tickets for us, and so I went to that. And then we went to, a Cubs, maybe Pirates game when my parents came up to get me. So I've been up there a few times. I've been to U.S. Cellular a couple times as well.
I guess that was going to be my next question. You ever try to get across to the Sox
games? Oh, it's easy. You know, their record doesn't really – it's a very conducive to ticket sales.
The last time I went to Comiskey Park, or to U.S. Cellular, I guess. The last time I went to do they call that the cell?
The cell, yeah.
The last time I went to the cell, it was a Cardinals game. And the tickets were it was crowded.
Yes.
Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
And it was 2006.
Right off the World Series. Yeah,
so,
absolutely.
So, yeah, the Sox had just won the World Series, and the Cardinals would go on to win it that year.
Right.
So it was, that was a lot of fun. But, I mean, the tickets were not cheap then.
Yeah, they've dropped off. Like, I can go to the Sox game for $2 and, you know, you get on StubHub.
He says, because he just saw my face when I heard you could go to a baseball game for $2. That's incredible.
And you can just, you know, walk across the interstate, and, you know, it's like 10-minute walk, and go, and you may have 15 or 20 row seats, and then you can move down because there's nobody there. I mean, I've had a couple friends who just sit front row and get balls from, you know, Jose Abreu or whatever all the time, and on the Megatron.
You ever thought about becoming more of are the Sox your favorite team in the American League?
You know,
or do you have a favorite?
I don't really have a favorite team in the American League. I like the Orioles. Okay, they kind of seem like they're the Cardinals of the AL sometimes, but you know, the Sox aren't bad. I definitely like them more than the Cubs.
Are you able to get around in Chicago? Have you ever? The reason I'm asking this is because I know you enjoyed your talking with Katie White. You enjoyed being in plays and stuff.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Do you ever like go to the plays in Second City and that kind of business?
Yeah,
up there?
I go to quite a few comedy shows. You know, they have comedy sports up there. They have Baby Wants Candy. It's all improv comedy. I go to a few of those. And then my parents come up. They really love going to musicals and stuff,
Baby
too.
Wants Candy.
Yeah.
What's that?
It's basically an improv musical, and they'll pick a topic at the beginning of the show, you know, from an audience member, and they just have to go. They have, like...
They start singing.
They have 5 seconds, and they just go. I mean, there's four or five of them, and it's really cool to see how quickly they can come up with. It kind of reminds you of Whose Line Is It Anyway?
Yeah.
You know, I love that kind of that humor. So,
have you ever thought of staying up there and doing some of that?
You know, I've thought about it.
I just wondered.
I've thought about it a couple times, but man, those guys are so good, and they're
you got to learn somehow.
That's right, and it is really fun to. You know, like at comedy sports and stuff, they get the crowd involved a lot, so I love doing that.
Yeah.
It's a really great atmosphere, and, you know, like I said, my parents come up all the time, and they love going down to, you know, the Chicago Theater, the Oriental Theater, and, you know, it's just amazing shows.
What's your favorite restaurant, and have you developed a taste for any good food yet?
Oh,
Chicago's got incredible food.
Yeah, they do.
I mean, the reason I'm asking is I always wonder about a student's perception of a town like that who can't afford to go to the really good places.
Right, right.
Or but there are probably some places that you can go that I wouldn't know about. Not that I can afford anything, but I've, at least I got a job.
Yeah, right, right. And there's all sorts of, you know, little.
What's your favorite place to go eat?
Probably Giordano's. That's kind of a mainstream one, I guess. It's a really great pizza place. But aside from that,
But you're not going to do that on your own.
Exactly.
Yeah, you're going to wait till mom and dad come out and take you to
absolutely.
Giordano's.
Really, one of the smallest places I love is called Chinese Kitchen. And it is, I mean, it's about a block and a half from campus, and people order that all the time, delivery. And
is that where you take the dates?
No.
You know your mom and dad are listening right now,
yeah,
don't you?
Yeah, yeah, and probably my girlfriend, too. So I take her to all the nice places when she comes up.
Well, that's nice,
yeah,
Colin.
I save up for her.
That's wonderful. That's just great. Had I realized you had a girlfriend, I would ask the question anyway.
Nah, that's all right.
That's probably where you do take the dates, right?
Yeah, yeah. Chinese Kitchen.
Have you gone to Billy Goat yet?
You know, I haven't. I've meant to a couple times, and every time we are up around the area, it's just absolutely packed.
So you haven't been out to Chicago Stadium, or I'm sorry, the United Center, then?
I have. Actually, went to one of my friends got tickets to a playoff game. I guess that was last year.
Billy Goat, like, right next to it.
Yeah, yeah, and we came out, and we were like, yeah, let's go eat, and it was, I mean, of course,
it's
packed.
Crowded. Yeah.
So I'll have to get to that this year, but... yeah, United Center is awesome.
When you go to the Billy Goats, you don't mess with the single cheeseburger.
Okay.
Because the breads, they've got a lot of bread. I mean, there's too much bread.
Yeah.
You can't get it without a double cheeseburger. What you want is you get the double cheeseburger and ask them to put an egg on it.
Ooh, I like that.
That's really the way to go.
Okay.
At the Billy Goat. I'm talking with Colin Dunn. He's a college student, and we've been talking about some. All kinds of things. Probably talk a little baseball when we return, a little Major League Baseball. He's got interesting opinions as a diehard Cardinal fan, and I suspect that he's probably pretty happy about that right now.
Oh, yeah. Never a better time to be a Cardinal fan.
Never a better time. We'll be back on the Bruce Dickey Show on WFIW AM and FM, Fairfield, Illinois, after these words.
Shining with a heavenly grace, help you right on by. And there ain't no road just like it anywhere I found. Running south on Lakeshore Drive, getting into town. And just slipping on by on LSD, Friday night trouble bound. Starts up north from Hollywood, water on the driving side. Concrete mountains rearing up, throwing shadows just about five. Sometimes you can smell the green if your mind is feeling fine. There ain't no finer place to be than running Lakeshore Drive. And there's no peace of mind the place you see, riding on Lakeshore Drive. Running south on Lakeshore Drive, getting into town. Just slipping on by on LSD, Friday night trouble bound. This Friday night and you're looking
Morning, folks. Welcome back to Bruce Dickey Show here on AM 1390 and WFIW FM Fairfield, Illinois. Appreciate you tuning in today. My guest is Colin Dunn, and we've been talking about the Illinois Tech as well as all kinds of American Legion baseball. And Colin, you're a lifelong, even though it's not too many decades yet.
Yeah, yeah.
A lifelong Cardinal fan.
I am.
How'd that happen?
You know, it really is just kind of a heritage. I've inherited that through, you know, both my parents and my grandparents, my great aunt and uncle, and you know, just kind of everybody around me, all my family members have always loved the Cardinals, and you know, it's just always been on the TV or on the radio, and that's you just kind of grow to love it.
You're pretty pleased with the performance this year so far.
You know, I am. Not really last night's game too much, but there are exceptions to the rule, but it's been a great season to be a Cardinals fan, as I mean every season really is, but really a very low frustration factor this year compared to years past.
What are you when you look at the farm system, when you look more at the farm system than I do, the Cardinals got anybody coming out?
Really, Alex Reyes is the biggest.
So you think Alex Reyes should be on the team now, or
I'd give it probably
20, isn't he?
Yeah, he's 20. I would let him ride out the rest of the year, you know, double A or triple A ball, and then maybe mid season next year, I think he'll be ready. But he's, you know, he's got great stuff, and really just watching his delivery, he looks a lot like Waka. Just from clips online, or you know, just double A, watching his double A highlights, game recaps and stuff. He reminds you a lot of Michael Waka or Adam Wainwright, and really, you know, it's kind of just a hierarchy, you know, or a genealogy of pitchers for the Cardinals. It started with Chris Carpenter, and then Adam Wainwright and Michael Waka, and now Alex Reyes, hopefully, you know, just kind of falls right in. So.
Were you frustrated at the end of July that the Cardinals didn't go out and get any bats other than Brandon Moss?
Yeah, I was. I think kind of all of Cardinals Nation was, because – you know, we don't need a Band-Aid there. We've got a Band-Aid. That's Mark Reynolds. He's at best a bench bat, you know, and I think we needed somebody more permanent. And, you know, who knows? They may try to do something with free agency in the offseason, but I think they had a pretty good shot to do it, especially with their talented farm system. You don't want to give away too much, but, you know, some of those prospects are, you know, they're just not going to make it through the glass ceiling because there are so many good prospects for the Cardinals. So, I think they could have done a little bit more. You know, Brandon Moss's numbers aren't really stellar to date.
With Cleveland or St. Louis.
Right. He's, you know.
He did that one hit. He got that walk-off hit.
Yeah, that's true.
If you're going to get one hit, that's the one to get.
That'd be the one. He just kind of reminds me of a left-handed Mark Reynolds, really. Just really high strikeout totals. You know, very, very low delivery on anything besides a home run.
When you look at the Cardinals team versus the other National League teams, do you see the potential of a pretty deep postseason run? Because I mean, they're off to such a great first 100 games that they'd have to really fall apart not to make the playoffs.
Yes, absolutely.
Knock wood.
Yeah, really. Knock on wood. Really, it does. It reminds me a lot of the 04 team, which is kind of scary. You know what happened at the end of the 04 season? We got swept by the Red Sox, but. This year's team reminds me a lot of them, but this year it's different because we have a lot more injuries that we're still, you know, awaiting returns.
04 had a pretty healthy nucleus all year long.
Yes, absolutely. And really not a lot of there was a lot of star power on the 04 team, but not really a lot here on the 2015 team.
04 would have had that's when you had Scott Rolen along with Jim Edmonds and Albert Pujols at their prime.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
At least Rolen was in his prime.
Yes, and that was one of the best teams, you know, Cardinals teams ever, 105 wins. And the Cardinals are about on pace to do that this year. But this year the only thing I worry about is because our run production is just so low, I'm kind of worried that our pitching – ERA won't be as low as it is right now. I know pitchers tire out, and their ERA raises a little bit toward the end of the season. So I'm just worried that we won't be able to produce enough runs to make that postseason run
deeper. Did you see this kind of pitching season coming?
No, I didn't.
I mean, I guess nobody could because it's –
especially
it's,
after Wainwright
it's a historic. Hurt. It's a historic number right now.
Oh, yeah. Every starter – well, every starter was under three. That was before last night.
He still
night.
Is.
He is? Lynn
Yeah, he's like 295 now. Oh, he's 292.
Very, yeah. All the starters are under three ERA, and I think the team combined is like a 2.2 something. Yeah. It's around there, and really just amazing numbers. You know, I had no clue that this would, especially this starting five, would do that well because, you know, Marco Gonzalez got hurt. He was going to be big for us, a big four or five in the rotation. And then, of course, Wainwright's out, and that's a huge blow. But they've bounced back. They've found a way to, you know, find good starters. You know, Tim Cooney's come in a couple times, and call-ups from AAA. Just really very, very surprised.
Cubs have won, like, what, 10, 11, 12 games in a row now?
Yeah, I think they're 12 the last 13.
Do you worry about that?
You know, I really don't.
See, now, is that just awful Cardinal jerkiness coming out?
Yeah, it's a little bit of
arrogance.
It kind of
is, isn't it? It is. You realize at some point something bad's going to happen.
Yes.
And that will shove your arrogance back to where it probably belongs.
It will. But that's kind of the nature of the beast. You really have to – you know, I don't think the Cubs will be able to hold together all season. You know, their numbers have dipped after the All-Star break, you know, just individually.
They've won 12 in a row.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But I mean, you know,
11 in a row.
Chris Bryant, you know, he's fizzling, I think. And I don't think that they'll be able to sustain like the Cardinals will because, you know, they're pretty shaky as far as their rotation goes. You know, you never really know what you're going to get, which I guess the same could be said for the Cardinals, but
I take that back. The Cubs won 7 in a row. My bad.
7 in a row.
Nine out of 10. Yeah.
9 out of 10. Yeah. Yeah, they have really made a very good season of it.
Yeah. You're just basically, but they're probably going to make the playoff game.
They'll be in
anyway.
The wild card.
In the wild card game. You think it'll be them in Pittsburgh in the wild card?
I think it will be. I think that'll be a really
game. So you think that the National League Central standings probably going to stick with the way they are right now. Maybe you switch around between Pittsburgh and Chicago.
Yeah. Yeah. Because Pittsburgh's closer to Chicago than they are to St. Louis.
Who's going to win the Mets in Washington? Mets going to? I mean, Mets have basically made a 12-game turnaround here.
They have. I think that they'll just keep riding it out, ride that streak out. It's going to be close. I think that the Mets might have their number.
You know what I'm building to here, by the way. I want to talk
the World Series.
Well, no. I want your predictions.
Yeah.
I'm going to want your predictions because you're a young man, but you're a baseball coach.
Yep.
You watch baseball. You've been watching National League probably predominantly over the course of your life.
Yeah, absolutely.
The Dodgers now are close with San Francisco,
mm-hmm.
2.5 games. Washington's 4.5 back behind the Mets. Do you see anybody that's not in the playoffs jumping back in and catching up in the National League?
You know, I really don't. There's such a huge gap. I mean, the top three in the Central are within 7.5 games of each other, but then after that, you know, it drops to Cincinnati and Milwaukee, so nobody's going to be a threat there. Then I don't think it's Atlanta's year. They're really, really struggling a lot.
They aren't going to catch the Mets.
Then from the West, there's an outside shot for the Diamondbacks, but I don't know if old Paul Goldschmidt, I don't know if he can be enough to rally him or not.
They don't have enough pitching.
Yeah, I don't think that he can consistently produce, you know, what their pitching demands. But
yeah.
Really, I think we're pretty well locked in. The Central will be the most interesting race.
How about who's going to come out of the American League? I'm not even going to ask you the different divisions. Other than I will ask you if you think Toronto will hold off the Yankees.
Man,
Toronto,
I hope so.
They've won 11 in a row.
Yeah, they really, especially after getting Tulowitzki, man, they've just absolutely taken off. And they showed a stat on ESPN the other day where basically everybody else's average has raised since Tulowitzki has gotten there.
Why is that, I wonder?
I don't know if it's just a breath of fresh air or a morale boost or if, you know, they really think that the GM is getting behind them and think they can make a really good playoff push. That might be it. It might be a combination. I think that they'll hold off the Yankees and go ahead and take that AL East spot.
So who's going to get in the NLCS?
NLCS...
I realize the way it sets up, the Cardinals will have, if it sets up like now, the Cardinals will have the best record and they'll have to play the wild card winner.
Right.
Whether the wild card winner has a better record than the other two division winners or not.
Yeah. I think that the Cardinals make it through that round and they'll go on to the NLCS.
Against?
You know, really, I don't know. Probably the Dodgers, as much as I hate to say it.
Because of the pitching?
Yeah, they're just so outstanding. Their rotation is what the Cardinals, I guess, should have been this year. Yeah. It's just filled with, you know, multiple complete games and
I'm assuming you're going to predict the Cardinals to win.
You know, my biased opinion says yes.
Yeah.
But my unbiased opinion also says yes.
Oh, sure.
So
you could make an unbiased opinion.
Yeah, right.
Who's coming out of the American League?
I'm going to go with Kansas City. They're basically the Cardinals of the AL this year. They're just dominating everyone.
Pitching is outstanding.
Oh, yeah, phenomenal.
But they're hitting the ball a little bit, too.
They are.
And they're 11 games up, so they'll have an easy ride in.
Yes,
the
absolutely.
And that's a big deal, isn't it?
Yeah, it's so much of it's just about momentum, and, man, they've got it.
Okay, so you're looking at a I-70 World Series.
That'd be awesome. That's what we kind of hoped for last year, I remember.
And, yeah, didn't happen.
I think we'll get it this year. It seems like that's the two front runners for me, and I think they can both, you know, sustain.
This is a month and a half before the end of the season. And
yep.
2 months before the World Series, you're going to have to give me a winner.
I'm sticking with the Cardinals.
And I am recording this.
I'm sticking with the Cardinals. You can play this back once the Cardinals get swept in the NLDS. I'm going with the Cardinals.
You heard it here first. Colin Dunn going for the Cardinals. I'm not surprised. Hey, Colin, I appreciate you coming on today.
Thanks for having me.
And best of luck up in school this year.
Thank you very much.
That's the Bruce Dickey Show for today, folks. Thanks for listening. I believe I've got Supercat on Monday. That should be a lot of fun. We'll talk to you then.